agreed with the committee to allow the DG to take us through the presentation, and then we'll then allow the minister when he arrives and to say a few words. For just the sake of saving time. Digit, can you take us?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, members, and happy blessed New Year. It's my prayer that we will work in a manner that pushes the agenda of the country forward, and us responding and respecting this August House in terms of responding properly to its mandate and the questions it tasks us about. Honorable Chair, I'm sure you're familiar with my colleagues, so I won't waste your time to introduce them. But I'll just say, Honorable Chair, that unfortunately, the presentation in front of you has been overtaken by a series of events, most of them structural and institutional. So in particular, institutional ones, the process of the national macro organization of the state has pretty much, if you will, been a disruption to this particular progress in terms of the way it is formulated. But in terms of the content of it, I don't think it has. Because it still poses the questions about jobs, the commitments, and all that. And indeed, Honorable Chair, even in terms of auditing, we are being audited as the former DAF department. Therefore, we are not completely disrupted in that sense. But we will, you may find out that most of the things we talk about, we will say, for example, we will still meet with the Department of Rural Development. That is past. Those departments now, agriculture and that department, are together. We will still talk to things about fisheries, which are really outdated. For example, the issue of rights is already dealt with in a different way, somewhere by the new department called DEF. So therefore, in a way, I would request the House Chair through you to focus on those things that pertain to agriculture and rural development in particular, and in general, to the degree that it talks to jobs and it talks to jobs and the general mandate of economic growth, I think fisheries still makes sense. For example, Chair, the first part is the 2017-2018 financial year, to which our minister made a commitment on what we call the revitalization of agriculture and the agro-value processing chain. That is still a point that we are dealing with, but in another form. We're dealing now with agriculture and agro-processing. At that time, we were calling it a value chain. But basically, what you are simply saying, you start with primary production and now put an emphasis not only on primary production, but on completing that production up to the sales part. In other words, if you produce maize, let the producer be able to mill. Let the producer be able to sell maize meal. And therefore, you can see more return on margin now that the minister is here. Chairperson, I can pause. Oh, thank you, Chair. So, the revitalization of agriculture and the agro-value processing chain, therefore, the Department of Agriculture, then called the Department of DAF, has subjected the agricultural policy action plan, which was APEC. Really, an operational action plan to Operation Padisa methodology. Just to remind the House about what Operation Padisa was, and still is. It was a process by the government that they learned from Malaysia of speed of implementation and getting big results. And we then called all the stakeholders and we interacted with them as to how fast can we do delivery of government programs. That's what Operation Pakistan was about and still is about. And therefore we needed to institutionalize it. That's why we say our department then called DAF has subjected the policy, subjected the agricultural policy action plan to the Operation Pakistan method to policy, which in turn informed what we then we now call RAVAC, or revitalization of agriculture in the agro-processing value chain under the 9-point plan. Today DAF has institutionalized Operation Pakistan to manage the implementation, monitoring and evaluation of all our initiatives, which are reported under RAVAC. We still are reporting our operations, our operations or implementation mechanisms. We are still reporting them under now what we call agriculture and the agro processing chain. We have met the two departments, as the chair knows, and we have also involved and appointed both public and private sector to lead each of our initiatives. So we the stakeholders are part of what we're doing. We have got, there are 25 appointed working group chairs leading the implementation management of each of the initiatives. Each work group chair leads a work group composed of role players and implementation agents responsible for the implementation of initiatives. We have a progress report here for 25 initiatives. Most are behind schedule, mainly challenged by the lack of integration across all three spheres of government. That's a major problem that we have currently, Chair. And at one point I will report on what we call PDALF, the Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Bill. I will bring it here, where all three spheres of government are implementing different policies under one different act, and that's the same problem we have there. The other commitment that the minister actually brought forward was the establishment of the Fisheries Transformation Council in accordance with the Marine Living Resource Act, Act Number 18 of 1998, Chapter 3, Section 5, Section 529. And we have prioritized that country has been established, Honourable Chair, and it falls under the fisheries branch, and they are busy, executive authority has decided not to appoint the council, and the reasons are better known by them. And unfortunately, that is no longer part of us. The reasons, I think, have been advanced in another committee. The fisheries land allocation process, which is a key part of fisheries development in 2020, that process, it would have been interesting if we were to report it here, because it's an interesting process of growth within the fisheries sector. The department then was to start with the fisheries land allocation process called FRAP in 2020 for 12 fishing sectors that were allocated in 2005 and 2013. The minister committed to that, and that process, Chair, I would like to bore this committee about the response of the minister to it, our response to it, unless you request so, because it falls within the ambit of another committee. I think the poultry production and the creation of jobs, I think that's quite significant, Chair. I will talk to it during question time because it was important. Can the screen reflect? If you can, Joe. Can the screen reflect what I'm presenting? You are still at the fishing poultry. There was an expectation that we have to wait. In fact, the minister allocated about 128 million. With the expectation that 46 projects will be established, and they will create about 1,000, just below 1,800 jobs. That was the expectation on the 1.3. According to the Comprehensive Access Support Program, which is CAS, and the Malesima annual report, which was submitted by the provinces, a total of 63 million was spent, supporting about 46 projects, of which 14 were not completed at the end of the financial year then, which was 2017-2018, and they are categorized chair per each of the provinces. And the jobs that were created, a total of 434 jobs were created from the construction of infrastructure, and particularly talking about the building of chicken houses here, and delivery of inputs at the end of that financial year. That excluded the permanent and seasonal jobs that would be created on farm. I think that has been gone on, and we needed to update this report, getting from the provinces how far have they moved. But as far as at the time of report creating the report, policy projects were implemented in the three states. We created one, housing 19, and the supply in KwaZulu-Natal, 20. In Limpopo 3, and I think there's a reason for that, Limpopo is very hot. Mpumalanga 6, Northwest 5. Question was raised about our transformation imperative. The Honourable Minister has committed that he will address transformation imperatives. The department is committed to a gender-centric approach in all its various programs. For example, we have got what we call FEA, the Female Entrepreneur Year Award, is one of such initiatives which look at involving women in the agricultural sector, especially in the poultry industry. The department has developed the norms and standards to this effect for the inclusion of vulnerable groups. Among others, these vulnerable groups are analysis to research departmental program, i.e. CAS, which will include, which is an inclusive approach, describing equal targets, a 50-50 approach for both male and female beneficiaries in line with budget allocation. So in other words, when we allocate our budget, we ensure that we 50% of the budget is allocated to vulnerable groups and 50% to male. To us, this is a deliberate effort ensuring a radical intervention that will ensure that we actually disrupt the entrenched patriarchy in the sector, especially through this process of female entrepreneur award. FEA is one of the incentivizing platforms for women excellence in the sector, and really have made sure that women are involved, especially smallholder production and subsistence agriculture. Women are involved in ensuring that they become commercialized, and we therefore have open access to market. Unfortunately, we have had problems with the tariff regime, and that we are now addressed. To date, a total of 460, I think it's more now, 460 women across the country benefited from this program. Of the 460, 81 entered and won in the category of subsistence producers. 39 graduated and now operating at smallholder level. But our view is to move them away from here into a full commercial, either through a partnership with established commercial farmers. For the year 2019, a total of 51 women across the country entered for this competition, and 8 entrepreneurs were awarded in different categories. Since inception, the FEA program, 3 women have been entered for best female worker category, graduated to become subsistence smallholder farmers. All I'm trying is to bring forward to your chair is that in agriculture, we have brought in women to become central in production. and we have taken in particular the poultry industry. And the only vulnerability is the export and import regime, which we have now addressed by bringing in, I think we are bringing about 80% import, 80% import tariffs to protect smallholder farmers. We are fighting with Brazilians, we are fighting with many, the WTO, but we believe that we need to protect for these women and this transformation agenda to work, especially for earnings. It needs to ensure that they get more margins on their investments. And here we have 14 agricultural graduates. Minister committed, he says, it is important, I quote, to target young people, especially agricultural graduates who are unemployed, and ensure that we facilitate their experiential learning through mentorship and exposure to commercial farms. In this program, about 3,654 unemployed graduates benefited in the 2017-2018 year. For the 2019-20 financial year, 265 unemployed graduates have been recruited to participate in various categories of internship in DAF. Of the 255 interns, 141 are placed as job seekers. Unfortunately, 13 are students who need experiential training as a requirement for obtaining formal qualification. 25 are placed in various industry partners. 31 are placed with Perishable Products Export Control Board, PPECB, as export technologies. So we put them in various areas within the department. Unfortunately, what has happened in the past is that we put graduates without clarifying the destination. And that is the area we are busy talking to commodities about. That once these interns get into our system, we must know where they will go once they get their graduation or their certification. We have put about a total of 1,018 unemployed graduates, again, in farms throughout the country, and those are put in various commodities, and we are giving them a stipend through CAS, and we are monitoring it. We are monitoring that. This is very important, Chair, because we are now taking what used to be called NARICEC, a repurpose about 1,000 unemployed youth, and we're putting them under extreme training, and we've taken them to the FADF first for discipline, because we need production discipline. The youth generally, as a result of their frustration, have become a little bit out of work in terms of this. So we said the first thing we need to do is put them through the FADF. And they are there now, and from there, we are going to take them to various locations where they will be allocated plots, and we put them under various skilled commercial farmers, and they become producers with a defined market. And we put our extension officers to monitor their productivity. Well, there's a branch called Animal Production, Health and Food Safety. I think we'll talk more later about it in detail in terms of capacitating it. Minister committed, it is critical need to capacitate our animal production, food and health safety branch, as they are at the forefront of managing and detecting potential outbreaks that could adversely affect our sector. Chair, at this point, I will just put an emphasis that I've asked National Treasury, and I'm sure you are going to ask in the course of this, in the course of the discussion about foot and mouth disease, swine fever, all the outbreaks that are coming up, how we're dealing with that. Today's Bible will explain how we're handling those. But one of the critical inhibitors in this particular area has been lack of capacity, the skills, and the people to go and do the job, the vets, animal health inspection, technician, animal technicians, which have been lacking in that area. To that degree, I had to make a petition to National Treasury, who, thank God, they gave us, and Mr. Ramaswamy will give us, on the MTEF of 2020, a detail of that allocation. But the, also the good news is that as far as biosecurity is concerned, with specific reference to foot and mouth disease, we now have got about $400 million from National Treasury for the establishment of our vaccine factory. So no more shall we depend on Botswana for managing the vaccination of animals infected with foot and mouth disease. So there seems to be a response from National Treasury of the depth of understanding of the threat that the lack of funding in this of this branch poses to this country. Just by now, Chair, roughly, if we are going to lose exports just to China, we are busy exporting now, we lose about $1 billion a month of exports. And we have stopped the transactions on auctions, on foot and mouth, on auctions, because that's where foot and mouth broke, swine fever. It's really a disruptor in our economy domestically. But unfortunately, that's the only way we could ensure that the world recognizes that we are taking serious our biosecurity. But I have asked my colleagues to immediately look at measures as to how we can now lift up the auctions and allow trade to happen. I think that those are the commitments the minister made here. We may want to give an update on that, because this is a little bit, as I say, a legacy. It's a thing of the past. There's a lot that has happened since then. We will have to give them an update to that. But at this point, perhaps I'll ask Mr. Ramaswamy to talk about the commitment on the capacitation from a funding standpoint of that branch. It is very critical. It deals with animal health, plant health, and it deals with particular reserves, health certificates. It's really very critical in the animal and plant health space. So with your permission, Chair, I'll hand over to you. Thank you so much.
We'll be giving you only 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Select Committee. The slide that I'll talk to is slide 13 in your text. And that slide outlines the medium-term expenditure framework that has been allocated to the branch agricultural production, health, and food safety. This branch is responsible for biosecurity in the country, biosecurity relating to issues of plant health, animal health, and issues around meat safety and food safety in general. The allocations that have been made are outlined. Each and every directorate is signified in terms of the slide that is there. In total, what we have been allocated in the E&E for 2020 is 147 million. We have broken it down in terms of the allocations of goods and services that have been given to the directorate in order to ensure that there is biosecurity in the country. And there is another chunk of 82 million that has been given during the very same period that would go to the itemized lines that are outlined in the bottom half of the slide. Firstly, we need to do online registration of the inputs that come into the country so that it's easier to track and train them. We have got a laboratory information management system that we are going to do for food security and food safety quality assurance. There's also research that we need to do on tests of quarantine 10 million. And we have got, in line with what DG has outlined, the livestock identification and traceability system that would assist us in terms of controlling the disease, especially FMD, so that we can trace the animals that are moving within the control zone and outside of the control zone. And the last one would be dealing with the antimicrobial resistance issues and also residue monitoring that would ensure that all the vaccines that we are using and the medicines that we are using within the animal health environment are not passed on to humans. So we are very grateful for this amount of money that came from National Treasury, and we think that it's going to advance our biosecurity in the country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Then we'll allow the Deputy Minister welcome. We did apologize that you're on your way. So if you have few remarks to make, I will allow you the chance to respond. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I do not have anything to say. I now am aware about the discussion underway. Probably at a particular stage, I would like to say something to the Select Committee, which might take us off the rail now if I do that. I just want to express something. But I'm okay with the presentation.
I would then allow the honorable members to engage with the presentation made by the department. And as indicated, this presentation has been long with us. It will be difficult for us to quickly touch on.
Thank you, Chairperson, let us appreciate the presentation as well. Chair, I just want to make a comment first, because I think it's in relation also to what the DG said towards the end of the presentation. I understand that this report is based on an executive undertaking in 2017-2018. But the point is that the department is reporting to us today, which is in 2020. And the expectation would have been that the department comes with a fully updated report in terms of how far they are with each and every executive undertaking. And it seems to be, to one extent, the department in certain circumstances is sticking within 2017-18, and in other circumstances they're giving us information, like in terms of the capacity building program. And why I'm also raising that is because obviously the questions they're going to ask and the responses they're going to give us are in relation to how far they are with the program. So it doesn't make sense. And it's like we're not getting sufficient information now to be able to properly interrogate what is being presented to us. And I'm not sure whether I should actually ask the question, but let me go ahead and do that. I just wanted to, in terms of the RAAVC approach, what I've presented to us is that in terms of the 25 initiatives, most are behind shape. And the major problem that cuts across is around integration across the sphere of governance. And this is obviously about cooperative governance. And I think perhaps the department should also tell us what has been done to address that problem. They should give us some kind of progress in terms of how far are they in dealing with the program, with the problem. We can't just be told that there is this problem, and it's a problem that occurs amongst the executives in each sphere of government. Chair, the other issue is, and I think that DG also mentioned it, was around the poultry production and the creation of jobs, where it's reported that 14 of the 46 projects supported were not completed. While I understand that it's provinces that drive this process, the DG did mention that they did not receive an updated report on these projects from provinces. And I don't think we should take this lightly, Chair, because I really think that the department should have come with the latest information. The fact that it's an executive undertaking and it's being reported to the committee about what is being done around the executive undertaking, it doesn't matter even if it's done in 2017-18. We'd like to know, up to date, where is the department on the matter? And on this one, I think we need to be told what is the status now of the 14 projects. Chair, and it can be that Limpopo is hot. It is hot. Thank you.
Honorable Richard, you have 10 minutes.
I think one needs to amplify the fact that we are being shortchanged by the department. Because in his opening remarks, the DG says the presentation has been overtaken by events. And there was sufficient time for the department to update the information and send it to us. So we don't take kind to that kind of an issue. Because we feel disempowered to engage. It would be like now we are engaging from a point of not knowing. And we will be asking things that they have answers to, but they are concealed. So it's very important that we amplify that particular point. One needs to check in terms of the agriculture and agro-processing. One needs to check, because we need to have statistics in terms of whether the input that is made is producing the output that is expected in terms of the support to emerging farmers in particular for job creation. Because we have identified the issue of emerging farmers as potential job creators if, of course, they get the necessary support. The report is silent in terms of that. So we have missing statistics in terms of that in particular, which I think is a matter that we need clarity on in relation to the department. We also go into slide number 7, which speaks about 128 million allocated for 46 projects. And the report is still at 62.3 million in terms of expenditure. And we are in another financial year now, which I think we need also clarity in terms of how far is it. So we need accurate statistics. Are they still at 62 million? And why is it like that when we need the money spend in terms of ensuring that there is the job creation. But also we need to be advised in terms of how performance management is dealt with, particularly at the level of provinces. We've got provinces that are not here. One doesn't know whether calculation or the figures have been put in with the white ink. But indeed, my interest, for example, would be the Northern Cape, because I have to confront the problem if there's nothing that is happening. So we need, if the province is non-compliant, let us be informed so that we can also, from our side, be able to confront the province and be able to take up these things, because we need jobs, and we need them as in yesterday. So I think we need also to be appraised in relation to that, Chair. And also, there is this issue of the Female Entrepreneur of the Year Award. We see the spotlight, the limelight that is there in terms of the awards themselves. But we don't know what support does the department give, particularly to female farmers, to ensure that they capacitate all of them. Or are these female farmers emerging on their own, and then they get also only projected when they are already developed? How many female farmers have disappeared? They've started, but they could not progress because there is no support really given to them. And it is indeed our interest in relation to that. So I think on slide 9, I'm not going to say anything, Chair, because it's also just the update of statistics, because it's statistical information, but we are told the report has been overtaken by events. So it just needs to be done. The other one on slide 10, around the exit strategy for these unemployed graduates that get taken to these programs of internships and so on and so forth. Is there a clear exit strategy? Whether the department will capitalize them to start their own businesses or engage with commercial farmers for the placement of these learners of these graduates for experiential training. So it's also very important. I want the last thing, Chair, that I want to raise is with regards to diseases, animal diseases. Mm-hmm. The report speaks more about reactive measures instead of proactive measures. There's nothing that speaks about prevention. There's nothing that speaks about what it is done. And in my view, it is cheaper to prevent the diseases than to cure the diseases that are already there. So I think the department also needs to advise us in terms of what preventative measures are there, so that we don't only emphasize on controlling diseases, but on preventing such. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, Chair, what I would have appreciated is that since it's one government and they are in one executive, I would have loved that the undertaking report was combined by both departments, so that we are not left with questions that is only answered by another department as if they are not in one executive. That is very disappointing on my side. And the second one also is on slide 7, because if you look in terms of the undertaking, it says 128 million was going to be spent in about 46 projects. So what we are given here, because now you need to look in terms of the financial years. You know, the undertaking was made in 17-18, so then you have 18-19, and then 1920. Now we are going to 2021, which we're going to start within a period of few months. But now, I don't understand, for us as government not to be able to commit to what you said you are going to do within a period of 2 or 3 financial years. All we have been given here is that this is how much you have spent, and then Limpopo is hot, Sheikh does not agree, and for me, it does not hold water, you know. And also, I would like to know what has happened. So why is it so difficult for us to reach our targets? Especially now, if you look in terms of the figures of unemployment, where they say 58% of unemployment is youth. That was yesterday. And we, as a government, have money to address this issue instead of talking about it. But we don't do it. That is something that the department must be able to explain to us. And also what Honorable Toye was saying, in terms of the exit strategy, all departments have these projects or programs where they make young people or unemployable people employable, like EPWPs and the NARICEX. Fortunately, I was part of one of the facilitators in the municipality when the NARICEX program started. And what is sad for me is that the group of people that I put them through the project of NARICEX, when I go to Caledon, they are still there. They were taken through the department, spent a lot of money taking them to hotels, going through training, but they are still unemployed today. That is something that is lacking. We have all these nice things, but we give them the skills and then we let them be. There is no guarantee that they will be employable so that they can actually contribute to what we want to do in the country. And one other thing also, it's nice and well when you have initiatives of having the youngest female farmer, but I would want to see, you know, or I would have wanted to hear saying, Ukarin Fesser was identified as a winner in the financial year 17-18. From there, she graduated, but today as we speak, Karin is sitting next to me. Karin is an up-and-coming young farmer who has actually employed 10 individuals. That's the kind of things that we want to see. That's the impact that we want to see. Because we spend money, but we don't see the impact of the money that we are spending. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the presentation. I agree with my colleagues here, but I have a constituency of 42,000 square kilos in Hawaii. I am shocked driving through the area to see how much land is lying arid of nothing going on there. I'm also shocked to see the soil and the conditions of soil and farmland deteriorating by alien plants taking over and the grazing is becoming less and less for the cattle in those areas. But what I mean in my discussions with chiefs and upcoming farmers, they say the department comes too late. It's a little too late when they appear there, because when they need the diesel to work the land, there's no diesel. The seeds will come when it's dry again after the rain has fallen. And then the fertilizer that they receive is not specifically for that piece of land because there's no samples taken and no analyzing done of the conditions of the soil. So I just want to see the Department of Agriculture to be on hand, to know what's going on there. And we will not be able to have success there if we sit from our offices in Cape Town and we want to do that, but we do not have the people in the in the specific provinces, in the specific municipal areas that is knowledgeable to assist these farmers, because these farmers are really, they with their backs against the wall. Their animals are dying because there is no grazing. But if you go to commercial farmers, you can see they work the land and plant on new grazing, which can carry more animals. So these people need to have the assistance of if it's Agri-SA or whatever. There are a lot of things. I also know of farmers taking in other farmers on regular basis, making them part of study groups and stuff like that. Our farmers need to have constant education because we're sitting with climate change and new products coming in and stuff like that, and they are left behind. So if we want success in agriculture and farming and not letting arid land lie around, because we need to produce food on every inch of land that we have for our people. So that is very important for food security. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I want to join my colleagues in expressing a word of disappointment to the department. These executive undertakings were made in June 2017. The department was saying to the House, during the financial year, the course of the financial year, we will achieve the following. We are here exactly 2 years and 7 months later, 8 months later. And all these undertakings, most of them are not fulfilled. What the department was supposed to be doing today was to say, you've afforded us more than enough time, 2 years and 8 months. We've done everything. We've implemented all the undertakings, all the commitments that we have made. And we are happy. Now we are focusing on these particular areas of work. They are not doing it. Instead, some of the projects are incomplete. We cannot be told properly what are the reasons why these projects are not complete. They are behind schedule. And we are told that it's because of lack of integration between different spheres of government. Personally, I don't take it. Chair, I don't take it. I feel that this is just a scapegoat of a department that is not doing what is expected of it. Issues of agriculture and food security are the centerpiece of the policy of this government. In terms of job creation and poverty alleviation, especially in the rural areas. Just look at your slide. Only 6 provinces are catered for. And even these numbers are skewed. Gauteng is 19, Free State is 1. You don't have Eastern Cape, you don't have Western Cape, you don't even have Northern Cape. And we are not told why these provinces are not catered for. We are a national council of provinces. Our interests lie with the provinces. The provinces must be catered for. When the department comes to that, they must tell us why they give Gauteng 19 and give Free State 1. What are the criteria applied in this respect? And why are they doing that? We need those particular answers. But more than that, Honorable Chair, it is that these projects are still not complete. And for me, this is scandalous. We cannot accept that. I think we need some intervention in order to solve these particular problems. I have another one in line with what I've just raised in relation to the fact that these projects that have got to do with land reform and Operation Pakisa, they are all behind schedule. Are they behind schedule from since the commitment was made to date or what? At least if the department, if it was another financial year, it is 3 other financial years. And for me,
this is quite problematic. I want the department to go back to the drawing board, take us serious, take the people that they serve very serious, because executive undertakings are very important. It means you say, I undertake to do the following things over a period of time, and those things must be done. And if they are not done, there must be clear-cut reasons why they are not done. Because we cannot accept this situation, unfortunately, on our chair. I'm not sure, I'm going to, part of what I'm recommending is that we must request the select committee that is dealing with the department to go and really look at what the department is doing so that there must be some intervention. So that when it comes to the house, there must be clear-cut progress, and there must be targets, there must be deliverables. We must be able to say in precision, this is what the department is doing to change the lives of our people. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Desmond, the last speaker. But on my side, there is a page that is seriously worrying me, which is your page 5, the last bullet point. The executive authority has decided not to proceed with the appointment of the Social Transformation Council in accordance with Section 529 of Marine Living Resource Fund. And the presenter said to us, because of their own reasons, those are the reasons that we'd like to know. It was key for us that this undertaking is implemented, and key for us as a committee to see its implementation. So I would like the department to tell us exactly what is the reason behind that. And lastly, from my side, Chair, you want to move check again. Last from my side, I think I am in full agreement with my colleagues that we've got a very serious disappointment with the department. The department was lucky to have between 3 and 4 months period to prepare for us as this committee. Now, today, we are given a half-cooked kind of a presentation, which doesn't help us to understand where we are in terms of the undertakings by the department. What I would suggest to the department, even before they respond, what we'd like to hear from them is to go back and do their homework task. In writing the response to us to those undertakings. Because there's another key undertaking that they've made, the farmers issue. There was one undertaking that was saying the department is looking forward to make sure they cut down on killing of farmers. We need to know the plan in terms of implementing that undertaking. You may respond to some of the questions, but you must know that you have to go back and respond in writing to us as the committee, so that before we take your report to council, we have the updated response from the department. We take note of the fact that this report has been overtaken by events, but it doesn't stop you from giving us the latest information in terms of the current department. Well, the issues that you were responding to, they are directing to your new department. Can I then give over to the DG and the Deputy Minister for response where there is a need to do so, taking into consideration that you are going to also respond in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I think what I would do, Chair, I would just allow the managers to respond. Because it is our belief that we have provided sufficient information in terms of the concurrent functions that we do with the provinces. Ours is regulatory, the provinces are implementers by constitution. And you start interfering there, they tell you the constitution. But I'm going to, it does not at all say what the members are saying is not correct. But I just want to mention that point, but I would like the manager, because they are here. And they even were writing notes, that is an updating this. I would like them to just quickly answer, and then I'll just get in taking into account the fact that you need a precise written answer to this, and that there is lack of time. And GM will do the conclusion.
Okay. But I think before we respond to the question, let's correct the notion of you touching the responsibility of provinces. As this committee, we are not making the provinces to account to us. We are focusing on undertakings by the ministry. The undertakings of the ministry, in our understanding, when it commits to do something, it is because they are sure that these are the steps that they have taken already in terms of implementation as the department. So let us not touch anything about the promises. It's us, the petition committee, and the ministry.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. I think we will take it, Chair, Honorable Chair, from your concluding remarks when you say that we have to provide comprehensive written responses. I think that we take and that we will do. And I also want to a little bit add to what the DG said earlier. The information that is provided, the DG said is not the latest as such. Yes, in some areas, but in most areas it is the status. In some areas, in the sense, as DG has said, in the sense that, for example, fisheries section of the department has since been transferred to the Department of Environment. Okay? So, for example, the question which the chair is asking, why was a decision like this taken to stop the establishment of the transformation? If we get engagement with the Minister of Environment, I think an appropriate answer can be provided in that regard. For the initiatives, Chair, much as it is stated that the initiatives are behind, yes, it is true, but the slightest interruption that we have had, as the DG indicated, has been because of the merger between the two departments. You know, a lot of focus was on the merger of the two departments. But it doesn't mean work is not continuing. The other slight interruption that we have had in terms of this initiative was the fact that we needed to institutionalize, you know, rather we needed to institutionalize Operation Pakisha. As members would read in terms of the responses, there was Operation Pakisha for 5 weeks, which looked at RAVA, which looked at what is it that we should do as a department to accelerate what we are trying to do. And subsequent to that, we then engaged in institutionalizing the whole program, the whole Pakisha in the department. So I just wanted to emphasize that, honorable members, to say work is still continuing, but in terms of comprehensive details, we'll provide such details in writing.
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll respond to the issue raised around the diseases and refer to the commitment as made by the authority last in 2017 to say it is critical to capacitate our animal production, food and health food safety branch as they are at the forefront of managing and detecting potential outbreaks that could adversely affect our country. The point that is raised by the Honourable Member is that our response is reactive. The response is to what was committed. The commitment was for capacity in terms of getting money from national treasury. The response that is there is just to indicate what were the allocations from national treasury based on the commitment that was made. And in the commitment itself, there are measures for response and there are measures that are collective in terms of all the areas, in terms of the animal health and also in terms of the plant health. So that for me is encapsulated. There was also an issue that was raised for regarding jobs. Now yesterday we had the quota for labor force summit that came up. Agriculture has grown its jobs by 4.2%. That is 36,000 jobs in agriculture. Up from on year agriculture, this stage has grown by 4%. We have got 885,000 jobs in agriculture system. And I think that element that the honorable members are pointing us to say we can do more. But in terms of the interventions that are there in agriculture, they are working on the job side. Although some of them are seasonal, but we strongly believe that we can do more in this area in terms of the interventions that are there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And I think, Chair, the reason I pointed to the managers is fundamentally that's the job they do daily. And for them to compare, some of them to compare with you, it's also a disappointment. And we take your point, we go back, and they've got the noise, they've got it, because they get it from me, and it's going to be more louder. And so I would have expected that their answers, clearly exist to answers to this, and for the managers to also, some of them, to concur that there is shortcomings. It's something that I accept with a very sore heart. And we'll just go back and do the job. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. You see, I think we have been listening to the comments by the select committee, all members that have contributed. What becomes very clear is that you are not happy with our work. And you feel that more than enough time has been given to us to do this work. I think 3 financial years for us, if I'm correct. And one of the things you feel that we have been economic with giving out information, which makes you have a feeling that there is we are limiting you in terms of engaging. And lastly, as Chair, you have pointed out that you would like us to go back and bring back information. I think, thanks for giving us even the luxury of our managers saying something. Otherwise, if you had wanted, you would have said that go back and bring back information written down. And unfortunately, I have to share your feeling, that we might not have given everything. As I'm sitting here, for some of the comments and questions, in relation to the slides and in relation to your own comments, it was important So it's an exciting program, an exciting project. And in relation to your comments and questions around that project,
such information can come in handy. Those are people, and there is information about what they are doing and how many people they have employed. The fact that we have not included yet makes you ask the question, you know. On NARICET, I mean, we can say a lot of things about NARICET, but if you would not be, there are shortcomings, but there are successes vis-à-vis NARICET. Now, when we report to a select committee, a portfolio committee, we should make it easy for them to understand that they, you know, Chair, what must always guide us both, the executive, select committee, and all of us, is that in essence, we are serving the people of South Africa. We want to make sure that they become the winners. That's why you ask the question. Are people not shortchanged, you know? And so I really wanted to say that at the level of us, you know, we can't say it was Minister Zogwan. We are now in charge of inherited. And so we should really go back and bring information as indicated by you. Maybe we would have better planning. You have advised us and send it in good time. And so I'm joining the DG in saying that we will go back and do exactly that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, dear. We will then give you something like 2 weeks, because it's an information that is within your fingers. That is a matter of just packaging, because we're expected to report to council about our interaction with you. So we must not found one thing in terms of your own undertaking. So we just give you 2 weeks to do that. There was a point raised by Honorable Seleku of you reporting on behalf of another department because we are one government. I do not want us to get into that trend of saying when we call the Department of Agriculture and then affairs, they must also report on economic affairs. I'm making an example like you said. We really need issues that are related to your own department. If they happen to overlap, it's then our responsibility as a select committee to call such ministry and make him to account in line with what was agreed to, or as the undertaking made by the ministry at that time. Because there is no luxury of saying this was minister so and so. The person is in that office, he must account to us. How far are they in terms of that? We want you to be strictly in line with your own department. If things that are not related to your department, that tell us they are within a certain ministry, it will be our responsibility, therefore, to call the ministry and make him to account. On that note, thank you very much. It has been a good meeting. Although we are really unhappy about the work done, but as we move on, we'll be happy with each other. Thank you very much.
Thank you.